Start out by saying good morning to Justin. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And good morning to Mr. Harris.
Yeah, good morning. And thanks for the shout out.
Oh, you're welcome. And good morning to Mr. Davis.
Good morning, sir. How are you? Long time no see.
Yeah, it seems like it was only yesterday. In fact, it was. Tanisha Gardner, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. And now we have another birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you so much.
Hey, you know, somebody. It sounds like somebody has... the volume up on their end in the background, so I can hear the feedback over here. So if you do, you want to turn that down. In any event, let me begin the show by starting out to say that our journey continues with Justin Hill. And, with Justin, we'll be examining historical figures who have gone unnoticed in our communities for far too long. And he then defines a word that is relevant to our past and is significant to our present. Now, musically, we interpret an artist that has shown and demonstrated a willingness to give back to the communities from which they come, which they come from, in order to help others. Now, we are Quest Youth Radio. Welcome to another episode. And with that being said, I'd like to give you a quick introduction. You see, music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So I want to thank everyone in the Quest listenership audience for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Without any further ado, I hand it over to our student host, Justin Hill, the real deal, for his first segment. Take it away, Justin.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And like you said, I am student host Justin Hill, and it is now time for my first segment of diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. And my first diamond is on Larry Doby. And Larry Doby was the second African-American baseball player to break the color barrier for Major League Baseball. Doby began his baseball career as a star infielder for the Newark Eagles of the Negro National League. Doby joined the United States Navy during World War II. After his service was complete, he returned to baseball in 1946. In 1948, Doby became the first African American to hit a home run in World Series play. In 1952, the slugging center fielder became the first African American to lead either league in home runs. During his time in the big leagues, Doby was a seven-time All-Star. Doby was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1998. And that is it for my first segment of Diamonds. I thank you guys for listening to student host Justin Hill on WSOU.
Okay. Now, I just want to correct you on one thing. And, you know, I need to let you know that I've made mistakes too. Lord knows, big ones, bigger than the one you just made. But his last name is pronounced Doby. Justin, I just want you to know. As we continue, everyone, you know, that particular segment on Larry Doby is really significant because he was the second black person inducted into or allowed to play Major League Baseball. We hear so much about Jackie Robinson, but we haven't heard anything. I've never known anything about Larry Doby until Justin, you know, brought it to my attention. Well, musically, we continue. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked. We are Quest Youth Radio. And we're back. I want to turn it back over to Justin because I know you have a full list of content and segments to produce. So we're going to let you go ahead and continue with your next segment.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And like you said, it is now time for my next segment. And it is on David Duncan. And David Duncan was the first African-American mayor to serve in New York City. Upon graduating high school in 1945, Duncan attempted to enlist in the United States Marine Corps, but was unsuccessful due to the Negro quota being met. Eventually, he was drafted and served with the Marines. In 1953, Dinkins entered Brooklyn Law School and was introduced to politics when he married Joyce Burroughs, the daughter of a New York State assemblyman. He joined a law firm and became increasingly involved with the Democratic Party, elected to a term in the state assembly in 1965. He later served as president of elections for New York City and as Manhattan president before his successful bid for the mayor's office in 1989. And that is it for my segment. I thank you guys for listening. This is to the host, Justin Hill, WSOU.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. Rihanna. Uh-huh. Good girl going bad. Uh-huh. Take three. Action. Uh-huh. Oh. No clouds in my stones. Let it rain. I hide the plane in the bank. Coming down in the Dow Jones. When the
okay, we're back, and I just want to take a quick minute to chop it up. The two segments that Justin just delivered for us, and more importantly to the audience, Mr. Harris, I'm going to tap your shoulder first. What do you distinctively remember about David Duncan?
Oh, besides being the first mayor of color in New York, he was really instrumental in getting a lot of things started in communities that were really unserved in New York for a long time. And it was good to see a fresh face in an old school community. And he was really good at making things happen. That's what I remember.
Okay. Oh, well, that's cool. Right. Now, while I have you still there, had you ever heard of Larry Doby, the second man to be allowed to play in Major League Baseball?
Well, actually, yes, I have.
Yes, oh, wow.
I have. And, we get so caught up in the first. We don't understand that there's always, if there's a first, there has to be a second and many more after that, but yes, I have heard of Larry Doby.
Okay.
I think he was
well,
a
thank you. Oh, go ahead.
And, I remember he was a catcher.
Okay. Wow, you remember. you make a very important point. Once, we talk about the first all the time, but sometimes often fail to recognize that at that point the door is open and there are other people just waiting to get into different fields. But when we talk about overcoming adversity as Black Americans here in the United States, it's been an ongoing adversity to actually try to be a part of a society that, you know, had a problem recognizing us as citizens. Tanisha, I want to bring you in. What can you chop up about David Dinkins or, well, I know you don't follow sports too keen, but which is fine, but chop it up with us real fast, or take your time, about the two significant diamond segments that Justin just produced and shared with us.
Yeah, so I just want to thank Justin. So that's why this show is very important, because you get to learn about different people that you have not learned about, or you probably knew and you was young and really didn't have that much, I guess, paying attention to it and understand the reverence of it. So that's what I like to say. So today was a learning lesson, because I never heard of that baseball player. And definitely David Dinkins, I know he was the first African-American mayor in the city of New York. And now we have a second, I believe the second African-American mayor. So just for him to put that role and that to open up that door allows what's happening now. So I just want to thank you, and the show is very important.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Right. And that is so important to acknowledge Eric Adams, who is the second black mayor in the city of New York. Let's bring in the black librarian. And in fact, you're the one with the feedback.
Oh, I
well, what can you, yeah, but what can you chop up with us about David Dinkins and Larry Doby?
I read a little about the black baseball players in the country and some years back, but in looking at him to actually become a manager, the second black manager in the majors with the Chicago White Sox was a major, major feat for anybody, let alone an African American, as working in the field of baseball. And he's a trailblazer. I learned that he died at the age of 79 in Mount Clear, New Jersey. And he was originally from out of Camden, South Carolina, and born 1923. His father had drowned in his young age, at the age of 37. But he did not let that stop him. He continued to move on with his life and do great things, not only for the city of Newark, but also for the country as a whole. David Dinkins, I learned that was also not only mayor of New York, but a New Jerseyan. He was actually born in Trenton, New Jersey. He did a lot of tremendous work as a black mayor. He was very, very powerful and made a tremendous difference, not only in the city of New York and the state of New York, but throughout the country, because the city of New York can be considered like the capital of the United States in many regards. And in fact, at one point, if not mistaken, the White House was perhaps up in New York, if not in Philadelphia at one point. But a lot of business has been and continue to be taken care of in the state of New York, billions of dollars being spent all the time. And to be a black mayor during the same time where you had a black billionaire, Reginald Lewis, in our country, is very, very dynamic. And so he did great things for the country, and he died at the age of 93. He lived a long life, and he made his life count, and it meant something to not only his family, but to our family still to the day.
Okay. Wow. That's definitely some heavy insight. And I thank you so much for that. We're going to continue musically, and we're going to come back on the other side where Justin Hill will continue delivering his segment of information on other featured artists, well, not artists, but definitely people from history.
Her knees buckle, staying for a man to survive. She need hustle. Seen and been through struggle her whole life. Made the transition from being his to his wife. Stifling. The night had been the ATF busting. Her daddy was a hustler, so she loved him. Looked at the jury, how can they judge him? She screamed. In her chest, her face with tears. Had a man's back, he was facing years. In her name, though the place was his. They trying to take everything except the kids. For years, she been through scuffle and fights. While he trying to hustle that white up all night. Wondering if he's alive. Seeing him try, she bubbled inside and screamed. Judge yelled for order, court reporter making her words shorter. His lawyer sat next to him. She could see how the trial was affecting him. It hurt for her eyes to connect with him. Using her lies for protecting him. They arrested him for murder and gun possession as they read back her confession.
Well, basically, we got a tip that Mr. Washington might be involved in these two deaths. From that tip, we found a gun in his home. We found 4 kilos of cocaine in his house. That gave us motive. The intent for us, it was a rap. That's about as strong a case as we can get.
The court awaited as the foreman got the verdict from the bailiff. Emotional outburst, tears and smear makeup. It stated he was guilty on all charges. She's shaking, looking like she took it the hardest. A spin artist, she brought her face up laughing. That's when the prosecutor realized what happened. All that speaking of mind, testifying and crying. When this did the crime, the queen pen.
Your husband without an anonymous tip.
We the lions out here, baby. You know, this is the jungle.
All I know is that my husband is a good man.
One thing you can do is you can trust me.
Good man, good husband, good father. A lot of coke, a lot of dead folks in you.
Wow. That song sounds like it comes from ripped from a movie, right? Definitely. Well, we don't have time to talk about that right now. Maybe we can get to it before we're over, but I want to hand it back over to our student host in just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I reintroduce to you, we call him the real deal because his name is Justin Hill. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And it is now time for my next segment on Mary McLeod Bethune. And Mary McLeod Bethune became one of the most important Black educators, civil and women's rights leaders, and government officials in history. The college she founded set educational standards for today's Black colleges. In her role as an advisor to President Franklin Roosevelt, gave African Americans an advocate in government. Bethune benefited from efforts to educate African Americans after the war, graduating in 1894. Bethune next attended Dwight Moody's Institute for Home and Foraging Missions in Chicago, Illinois. And that is it for my segment on Mary McLeod Bethune. And I thank God for listening. And this is student host Justin Hill.
that I would be the type. Always wait so patiently, thinking you was coming home to me. Well, damn, I never heard the keys or felt your tap playing all your sleeves.
But I was crazy
good, you had my mind,
and I
let you come back every time.
You would
violate and cross the line,
and you
knew that I would be the type. Always wait so patiently, thinking you was coming home to me. Well, damn, I never heard the keys or felt your tap playing all your sleeves.
Don't wanna make up no more.
Have you ever heard of Mary McLeod Bethune before?
Yes, definitely, in school. So, I was just reading up on it now, and all the pivotal points that she made in her life and how everything was connected. They say that she was definitely her work was so powerful that they said the president, Herbert Hoover, asked her to attend the White House conference in the 1930s. And then she also had a great relationship with the Roosevelts that she got to meet. She was introduced to them in 1927, and then she later supported them in the run for presidency. And just a simple fact that her work was so powerful that the White House acknowledged her. And the work that she do to this day, it just makes us think about the positions that we have and what we need to do and the advocacy work that needs to continue to go on and how we can, all the ideas that we have can actually manifest and really be able to change lives. And I think that is so pivotal, and that's what I take from it, to keep the fight going, and that we do have the power to be able to change things.
Okay. I want to bring on Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, Mary McLeod Bethune.
Yeah. Well, yes, I have heard of her. Matter of fact, I went to school down south, and we played against Bethune-Cookman College in a lot of sports and other academic endeavors. You know, but she was a trailblazer. You know, she understood the need that we had in our community, and she was able to put things together. You know, it started out as a small school just for women, you know, and then she parlayed that into one of the major HBCUs in the country. You know, so yes, I have. And like Tanisha was saying, we need to continue that kind of mindset. So, because I hope we don't think the struggle is over.
None of us here do. I can definitely say that. And I want to bring in a Black librarian, Mary McLeod Bethune. Same question. Okay. Because I'm prepared, we're going to wait a moment for the Black librarian.
Hold on, I'm here. I had to put my phone on mute. I was on mute. I'm sorry. Sorry. One of the greatest quotes. Mary McLeod Bethune, phenomenal woman. Not only did was she and dear to Hoover in the cabinet, in Hoover's cabinet, also Calvin Coolidge cabinet, dealing with child's health issues, and also Franklin and Delano Roosevelt, she was seen as a pillar in society. She was steadfast. She developed numerous different organizations for blacks, and specifically for black women, because black women was disenfranchised, and I have made mention in terms of them being included in society. But if you read a book entitled Born of Liberty, it wasn't only black women that was disenfranchised. It was white women that was disenfranchised in terms of jobs and being able to have equal access and equal protection under the 4th and 14th Amendments. So in terms of what Mary McLeod Bethune had done, she did a plethora of unconditional work from building the college. She's always been involved. She engaged in politics, and she engaged in community organization and community development for the betterment, not just for black folks. The betterment, she understood that making it better for black folks make it better for everybody. Because then it could lead way to equal protection under the law, under the 4th and 14th Amendments, and what have you. There's been no woman that's been as phenomenal as the work that she have done during that time to become close with Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt, to become a member of the cabinet, to create what's called the first black cabinet in any White House that we know of in the United States of America, the first black cabinet. We can go as far back as Booker T. Washington having some access, but she had full access to be create a black political cabinet for the development and the betterment of African Americans in this country. Phenomenal woman. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Great job. What we want to do right now is turn your attention for everyone, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, specifically you adults out there, children of all ages, and I want to remind the adults that you're never too old to learn a lesson. This particular Aesop fable that I'm about to impart upon you is titled The Dancing Monkeys. It seems, and everybody please pay attention, a prince had some monkeys trained to dance. Now, being naturally great mimics of men's actions,
they showed themselves most apt pupils, and when arrayed in their rich clothes and masks, they danced as well as any of their counterpart, and danced as well as people, in fact. Well, the spectacle was often repeated with great applause, until on one occasion, one of the members of the audience, you know, bent on mischief, took from his pocket a handful of nuts and threw them upon the stage. Well, the monkeys, at the sight of the nut dancing, and became, you know, indeed, as they were, monkeys, instead of actors. Pulling off their masks and tearing their robes, they fought with one another for the nuts. Now, the dancing spectacular, a spectacle, thus came to an end amidst the laughter and ridicule of the audience. Okay. So I want to go to our panelists. You got a bunch of dancing monkeys dressed in masks and clothes, dancing like people on stage for a rich prince, and they're doing a great job, you know, amazing job. What do you think the moral of this particular story is? And Justin, I'm going to go to you first.
I think it's that one day you might be like famous and you might know how to dance and do things, and then the next day you might like forget and like might not be like the best at everything.
Okay, there are no wrong answers. Because what you're doing right now is called critical thinking. And, Mr. Harris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but while I'm with Mr. Harris, I'd like to ask you, what do you think the moral of this particular story is?
Okay. What I got out of it, at least, is that regardless of what you do for other people, when it comes down to your nature, you're going to resort back to that, you know. So some things in your life are going to be artificial, and other things in your life are going to be real to you. And that's what I think happened to the monkeys.
Okay. You know, between you and Justin, you like really rubbing up against the moral of the story, and you're very close. Tanisha, I'm coming to you, and I'm saving the Black Librarian for last. Tanisha, what do you think the moral of this particular story is?
The guy was a prince or something. So I guess he was trying to change their nature, and I guess it means that within your nature, you are who you are, and eventually it will show itself. I guess pretty much what Mr. Harris said. So I guess in people, when people show you who they are, accept it for what it is and don't try to change it with your own illusion.
Mm. Ooh, you guys are getting real close, real close. The Black Librarian, what do you think the moral of this particular story is?
I think the moral of the story, and correct me if I'm wrong, and all I know is what I don't know, because I am a librarian, so I'm in the field of realizing that I don't know everything. What I think is that the moral of the story was depicting the difference between ceremony and substance. And substance deals with the essence. It's real. You can't hide substance. When they were taught how to dance like human beings, that was very ceremonial. So they learned how to do it as part of the ceremony. But you can't change who you are. And so the essence of you is you. So although that was entertainment, but the substance is they're monkeys. And they're primate monkeys. So in that they're monkeys, they're going to act as they are as part of their inner being. That's who they are. So the ceremonial aspect was an act for the purposes of entertainment, but it was no substance there. So to think that when it was just entertaining, that that would change the essence of them would be wrong. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You know, everybody, I need to tease the Black Librarian because, you know, he goes into it. And I love it. I love you for it, right? And, you know, you're definitely rubbing all on it, onto the answer. You know,
the moral of this particular story, you know, not everything you see is what it appears to be, because sometimes sugar appears to look like salt.
So the moral of the story is, like I said, not everything you see is what it appears to be. And remember, sometimes sugar looks like salt. So don't be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. Right? We're going to continue on right after this song by Mary J. Blige. So don't you go anyplace. Now, this is Family Affair.
We the best music.
Another one.
All hail to the queen, Mary J. Blige.
When everything I do is real, money in a doggy bag, I ain't missing no meals. Don't move on me wrong, I need to save my energy. Everybody's family, leave it to the industry. Turn it out, I know it. We ain't talking that way. We ain't moving like that. No way, no way. Turn it out, I know it. Only positive vibe. I don't pay no mind. I don't pay no mind. Every day like.
Okay, I was just reminded that we're running out of time. Right, and that Justin has another couple of segments to do. So I want to ask Justin to take a hold of the reins and do what you have to do. You have another diamond and a definition. So you can do them back to back. Take it away, Justin Hill, our student host.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And like you said, I do have another diamonds and definitions. And my diamond segment is on Arthur Ashe. And Arthur Ashe was a former tennis player who was the first black tennis player to win a men's singles major championship. He began to play tennis at the age of 7 in a neighborhood park. Ashe moved to St. Louis, Missouri, where he was coached by Richard Goodwin before prior to him entering the University of California at Los Angeles on the tennis team on a tennis scholarship. In 1963, Ashe won the U.S. Hardcourt Singles Championship. In 1975, when he won the Wimbledon singles and the World Championship singles, he was ranked first in world tennis. After retiring from play in 1980, he became a captain. He became captain of the U.S. United States Davis Cup team, a position he held from 1981 to 1985. And that is it for my diamond segment. I thank God for listening. And this is student host Justin Hill on WSOU.
Okay, Justin. Now you have one more segment, so I'm not going to let you wait for it. But you have my permission and all of our permission to continue.
And it is now time my last segment, which is my definition segment, and it is on the word philanthropy. And philanthropy is a form of altruism that consists of private initiatives for the public good, focusing on quality of life. Philanthropy contrasts with business initiatives, which are private initiatives for a private good, focusing on material gain, and with government endeavors, which are public initiatives for public good, notably focusing on provision of public services. And that is it for my definition segment, and I thank God for listening.
Okay. All right. We're going to continue on. I want to bring on our music director, right? And, you know, you can try to down all you want, but I can put him up against anybody who thinks they know music. Now, just like the Black Librarian said, he might not know everything, but he definitely knows enough for us. Right, Mr. Harris, take it away. You're going to present the curtain segment for us today. Am I correct?
Yes, I guess you are. Yeah, I am. All right. So you know, we understand what curtains is about. We're looking for folks that not only perform in the front of the stage, they also perform behind the curtains. You know, and today, obviously, it's going to be against the queen, this Mary J. Blige, you know, and even though she sold more than 40 million records and got 9 Grammy Awards, her rise to success wasn't a crystal stair. You know, she had a lot of ups and downs, and she had this stuff that she had to deal with prior to becoming who we think she is, coming from the projects up in Yonkers, New York, you know, and then she started a foundation in 2007 called the Mary J. Blige Foundation for the Advancement of Women Now, Incorporated. And it's basically dedicated to helping women gain confidence and skills needed to reach their individual potentials by funding scholarships, vocational training programs, educational degrees, in order to give women an opportunity to boost their careers and enable them to support themselves and their families. You know, again, because she kind of hit some bumps in the road on her way to success, she understands how a lot of other people don't have the opportunity or the outreach from the community to help women, especially, you know, get education. She had like a GED program. She does stuff that helps them with parental guidance, you know, helping them be a better parents and stuff like that. A lot of sisters in the hood, not just in the hood, but a lot of females, period, you know, have issues with stuff like that, and sometimes a good foundation will help lift them over the hump. And, you know, and this is why, you know, we picked Mary J. Blige today, because she kind of showed it through her artistry that sometimes your pain can be your pleasure in a way. You know, so Mary J. Blige, you know, big up to the sis.
Floor now, you ain't gotta wait. We can take this outside, you ain't gotta hate. This here's a family affair. The family is here, everybody put your hands in the air. And we don't need no hateration. Somebody better calm Duke down, cause they ain't a lace them. So while you're waiting, get it percolating. Love to smoke, preferably purple hazing. Sharp as a buck 50, doing my dance. And honey mad cause she can't keep up with me. But I'm still banging them, sobbing them, still robbing them. And the whole world know kiss is a problem. But I ain't come to fight, I came to have fun tonight and hit more than one tonight. Get it crunk from beginning to end. Mary J and Jada, why yo, we did it again.
Come on everybody, get on now, cause you know we got to get it wrong. Mary J is in the spot tonight and I'ma make you feel alright. Come on baby, just party with me, let it loose and set your body free. Leave your situations at the door, so when you step inside, jump on the floor.
Let's get it crunk up on the floor. We got y'all open, now you're open, so you got to dance for me.
your body bumping. I told you leave your situations at the door. So grab somebody and get your ass on the dance floor.
And the kid bouncing in the 6-4 until we crack the day. It's after a few shots I'm faded. Family affair, you don't know where the spot's located if you're not related. And they got to hate it. How I switch from Marine to Chapar to Rolex. I watch upgrade it. This year's no more drama, mainly because now my saving account show more commas. Usually it's mellow rappers in the club pulling models or pulling bottles out them yellow rappers, saying on reach of those hammers and be standing on the couch like my mom's ain't teach me no manners. My weekly lead a club and hit the beach in Guyana. Don't come back until I feature the Santa and his accents on each of our grammars. You with the young F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S family.
Welcome back to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. I'm reminded that while we're here, I want to thank all the panelists and the student host, Justin Hill, for taking your personal time out to be a part of this team to in an effort to do something, you know, good as far as informing and educating not only ourselves but our audience as well. You know, I don't stand on a pedestal, you know, because I realize that when you're green, you're growing, and when you're grown, you're definitely rotten. And so that being said, I'd like to say that this program was perfect. And I'd like to open up the microphone for starting with the Black Librarian to talk about today's show broadcast and highlight anything that you felt left it somewhat of an indelible mark on your mind from what we've just finished doing. And we have enough time. There's not a rush. Starting with the Black Librarian, take it away. And
I am very impressed with Justin Hill. I was impressed with his performance yesterday at the radio station, on point, up on time, doing the job. That's what it's about. It's about passing the baton. And this show will continue to pass the baton. That's what it's about. And so I mean, it almost brings tears to my eyes to actually see that a brother is on it. You know, he's not outside trying to gangbang or get involved with any negative activity. He's doing the right thing. You know, I mean, my heart goes out to Justin Hill. Thank you so much.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Let's bring on Tanisha Gardner. Tanisha Gardner, anything that you'd like to say?
Yes, this was a very informative show today. I learned a lot. It's very inspirational, experience about Bethune, the work that we do as an advocate that we got to keep pushing on and hold everybody accountable and create new ideas for greater generations to come.
All right. Thank you so much. I'd like to bring on Mr. Shelton Harris.
Yeah, well, today, as every day when we do this stuff, you know, there's new information, you know, from your own personal perspective, from other people's different slant on things. And it's all about growth. And that's definitely what's going on here. And definitely big ups to Justin. Because what they say, out of the mouths of babes, you know, comes our greatest challenges. And he seems to be moving in the direction so that he can be a leader, because that's what John Henry Clark has said, leaders don't grow followers, they grow new leaders. And Justin is definitely going to be one of those brothers that's going to take the reins and move forward in a lot of ways. I love this stuff.
Okay. Thank you. Trust me, brother, we all love one another as well as the information. Justin, I'd like for you to have the last word on this and close us out.
I think that today's show is great, and Crossroads Radio and WSOU is a great show to be on. And I think I've grown a lot since I first started being on the radio. And now it is time to close out the show. Today's show was great, and make sure you check out our social media. And Crossroads Radio is
everybody
the best radio.
Make a man feel better than a woman. Queen with a crown, that be down for whatever. There were few things that's forever. My lady, we can make war or make babies. Back when I was nothing, you made a brother feel like he was something. That's why I'm with you to this day, boo, no frontin'. Even when the skies were gray, you would rub me on my back and say, baby, it'll be okay. Now that's real to a brother like me, baby. Never ever give my cootie away. And keep it tight, alright? And I'ma walk these doors so we can live. In a fat ass crib with thousands of kids. Well, life, you don't need a ring to be my wife. Just be there for me and I'ma make sure we be living in the effing lap of luxury. I'm realizing that you didn't have to fuck with me, but you did. Now I'm going all out, kid, and I got mad love to give you, my nigga. Gotta love Jones for your body and your skin tone. 5 minutes alone, I'm already on the road. Plus I love the fact you got a mind of your own. No need to shop around, you got the good stuff at home. Even if I'm locked up north, you in the world rocking 3/4 of cloth. Never showing your stuff off, who? It be true, me for you, that's how it is. I be your Noah, you be my Wiz. I'm your Mr., you my Mrs., with hugs and kisses, Valentine cards and birthday wishes. Please,